He said ITN News once broadcast a story on the use of silent sounds in the first Gulf War. ITN later told me categorically that they had never run such a story. Nowhere within their archive database could I find anything approaching it. He said, "You can transmit silent sounds into people's heads via a window, in the same way you can fire a laser beam through a window to eavesdrop on a conversation. Conversely, the sounds can be transmitted through the crummiest media, a satellite telephone, or a crappy old tape recorder, or a ghetto blaster." He said New Scotland Yard uses the technology, but he wouldn't tell me how. He said the Russians use it too. And that was it. He cut the conversation short. He wished me the best and he hung up, and I was left reeling and entirely unsure of everything he had said. This man seemed to have verified one of the world's most enduring and least plausible conspiracy theories. For me, the idea that the government would surreptitiously zap heads with subliminal sounds and remotely alter moods was on a par with the idea that they were concealing UFOs in military hangars and transforming themselves into 12-foot lizards. This conspiracy theory has persisted because it contains all the crucial ingredients: the hidden hand of big government teaming up with Machiavellian scientists to take over our minds like body snatchers. The thing is, in this context, Jamal's Fleetwood Mac all-girl covers band ghetto blaster experience inside the brown block at Guantanamo Bay suddenly made sense. Jamal seemed fine when I met him in Manchester. I asked him if he felt at all unusual after listening to Matchbox 20, and he said no. But one shouldn't read too much into this. There is a very strong chance, given the history of the goat staring and the wall walking and so on, that they blasted Jamal with silent sounds, and it just didn't work. There was one thing I could chase up. Dr. Oliver Lowry, or whoever he was, had name-checked to me a Dr. Igor Smirnov. He said Igor Smirnov had undertaken similar U.S. government work in the field of silent sounds. I looked Dr. Smirnov up. I found him in Moscow. I corresponded with his office, and his assistant, Dr. Smirnov speaks little English, told me the following curious story. It is a story the FBI has never denied. Igor Smirnov was not prospering in the post-Cold War Moscow of 1993. His finances were so bleak that when the Russian mafia turned up at his laboratory one evening, pressed the bell marked somewhat ominously, Institute for Psychocorrection, and told Igor they'd pay him handsomely if he could subliminally influence certain unwilling businessmen to sign certain contracts, he almost accepted their offer. But in the end it seemed just too frightening and unethical, and he turned the gangsters down. His regular clients, the schizophrenics and the drug addicts, may have been poor payers, but at least they weren't the mafia.